China is rejecting an international ruling against its claims in the South China Sea. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. An international tribunal in The Hague has ruled that China's claim to much of the South China Sea has, quote, no legal basis. The Philippines brought the case after China seized a reef in the region nearly 4 years ago. The BBC's Stephen McDonald joins us from Beijing. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, how are you going?
First, explain what this dispute is about, this so-called nine-dash line. What does that mean?
One of the key documents that China uses, a map from the 1940s, saying it has claim to virtually all of the South China Sea, a map called the Nine Dash Line. Well, this tribunal's saying it really has no validity. Once China signed on to this UNCLOS, the UN Law of the Sea Agreement, that it had to abide by all these other rules which made the Nine Dash Line null and void.
And can you talk a little about why the Philippines brought this to an international court? Why is this region so important?
The crucial thing is that, you know, these are major sea lanes. There's oil, there's gas, there's fishing. And who can control this crucial area? Well, it's not only a matter of national pride, but there are big dollars at stake here. And so the Philippines was finding that the Chinese, because China's been building these islands not that far from the Philippines, have been restricting Filipino access to fishing, access to, you know, hunting for oil and the like. And China knows that this UN body doesn't have the ability to enforce the ruling, even though it's legally binding on all the signatories. And China is one of those.
All right. The BBC's Stephen McDonald, thank you so much.
No worries.
Meanwhile, China has rejected the ruling, saying the tribunal has no jurisdiction in the matter. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE 100 index in London is down about 0.1%. The DAX in Germany is up about 1.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up this morning. As protests continue over the recent police killings of black men in Minneapolis and Baton Rouge, so have efforts to raise bail for dozens arrested during the protests. Those efforts have helped many with what was likely an unplanned expense. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
There are different strategies when it comes to protests and arrests, avoiding actions that would lead to arrest, planning who would get arrested, and making sure their bond's ready to go. Pamela Oliver studies crowds at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
The need for bail most often comes up when the protesters are arrested when they didn't necessarily expect to be arrested or hadn't really planned for it.
Protests as reaction to shootings by police occur much more spontaneously than planned marches.
In that context, it's not surprising that things would be evolving unexpectedly.
Nikema Levy-Pounds is president of the Minneapolis chapter of the NAACP. She says arrests there stemmed from agitators not with Black Lives Matter.
And they were throwing rocks and bottles at police officers. And so I believe that that has contributed to all the things that are happening right now for those who have actually been jailed.
Crowdfunding efforts have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for bail. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
You don't have to be in the real estate business to know that space in New York is expensive. That's partly because there isn't all that much space available. So what's a developer to do? Get creative and look for more efficient ways of using space that may have been overlooked. Sally Herships has more.
Preston Pesek is an entrepreneur. His specialty is using real estate efficiently. He tried a project with yoga studios.
Before work, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., they're packed. And after work, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., they're packed. But in the middle of the day, there's just like tons of downtime.
There was an exploration with hotels.
When the hotel guests were out during the day, you could potentially use those spaces for others who needed to host private meetings.
I already see the drawback in that. Then, during a trip to Japan, when he was jet-lagged and just looking for a place to get some Wi-Fi, he had a brainstorm.
Restaurants are closed in New York all day. Like, why can't we do that?
Essex says there are more than 2,000 restaurants in New York City that don't serve lunch. Why not rent out all those empty tables as co-working spaces, which is exactly what his new startup, Spacious, does. Then it shares profits with the restaurant. Clark Wolf is a food and restaurant consultant. He says new income is something to seriously consider, but he says there are also concerns. Theft.
It's amazing what people will steal from a restaurant. They will take a picture that's been bolted to the wall.
But Wolf says there are bigger problems, like insurance premiums that could go up when a restaurant that's usually empty the day turns into a full one. And while some of those workers could stick around and order a burger, Wolf says that might not be as profitable as it sounds.
There are only two kinds of customers, regular customers and people you're trying to make into regular customers.
And daytime co-workers don't necessarily turn into regular nighttime diners. But Spacious is signing up restaurants. At DBGB in downtown Manhattan, the walls are lined with wine bottles and copper pots. In the open kitchen, cooks are shucking corn, roasting carrots, and a giant pot of duck bones is becoming stock. There are no cubicles or fluorescent lights. Angela Pham says this is her third day using Spacious.
You can actually see the bar from where you're sitting.
Yeah, it's a really nice view.
There are a lot of places to co-work, but restaurants all have different looks. And Pesek says when you change your environment, it can lead to creativity, even an idea for a new startup. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And J.P. Morgan Chase is giving 18,000 employees a raise. In an op-ed in the New York Times today, CEO Jamie Dimon says the bank will raise its minimum wage from $10.15 an hour to between $12 and $16.50 an hour over the next 3 years. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.